Summer registration is happening right now at Henry Ford Community College. Visit hfcc.edu to get started today or call 1-800-585-HFCC. Don't let the summer pass you by.
Yourself on the blues time. It's the greatest blues show anywhere at noon on Thursday. I'm Mr. White, and I'm so confident you will move and groove to the blues time. I will give you worry-free home delivery on your FM radio or streaming to you live over the internet. The old blues, the new blues, the finest grease to slide your feet. So get your free blues time, the world's greatest blues show on Thursday at noon. Guaranteed.
The many colors of the blues. And you can hear them on WHFR's latest blues compilation, Uncut Detroit 3, Live Studio Blues, featuring local artists Bugs Beddo, Thornetta Davis, Eileen Orr, Kenny Parker, Robert Penn, Harmonica Shaw, and Joe Weaver. This CD has received great reviews, and we know that you will love it too. Support independent radio and order your copy of Uncut Detroit 3 Live Studio Blues for only $12. Go to our website at whfr.fm or give us a call at 313-845-9676.
Impact is a public affairs talk program taking an in-depth look at specific nonprofit organizations, events, and people who have taken up a cause to make a positive change in our communities and around the world. This show has been pre-recorded. Welcome to Impact. I'm your host, Kristen, and today we have for our feature the Starfish Family Services Organization, which is a nonprofit organization here in Wayne County. And with me right now on the phone, I have Avery Anigenberg, who is the grant writer with the development team for Starfish Family Services. Hi, Avery. Welcome. Thank you so much for being here.
Hi, Kristen. Thank you so much for having me.
If you could just give us a little bit of a background about Starfish Family Services and what you guys do.
Sure thing. Starfish Family Services is actually, we're headquartered in Inkster, and we have service sites across Wayne County. Our organization provides critical services and resources for families in Wayne County who are raising young children under poverty. What that means is they're usually making around $22,000 a year or less for a family of four.
So, oh, that's tough.
It is tough. And so we're trying to help these families stay on their feet and keep the kids in the home, you know, and not let the circumstances that are working against them tear them apart. Starfish is one of the leading providers of early childhood development and parenting programs. We also have children's mental health services, some after-school programs, and an emergency shelter for teens and youth in crisis. The programs and services that Starfish has help give families resources, education, and support they need to strengthen those family relationships. And our goal is also to help make sure that their young children are prepared for a successful start to kindergarten and to their lives.
Wow. Yeah. So you guys are just across the board.
We are. We have a very broad spectrum of services and resources that we're able to provide families. So it's a very wonderful organization, and we serve about 9,000 children and families in Wayne County every year.
That's a lot of kids.
It is, and it's a huge impact when you start thinking about that in terms of we're helping children at the spot where they're most vulnerable to poverty and to poverty's effects, when they're they're that young, their brain is still developing, you know, from 0 to 3, about 85% of their brain develops. And so we're able to help families in that at that point so those pressures don't overwhelm the child's brain development, and so they also don't overwhelm the family as a whole.
Now, do these families just come to you guys? Do you seek them out? Are you given referrals? Or how does that work?
All of the above. We work closely with many partner organizations throughout southeastern Michigan. Many families just know who we are, that we're in the community, and they seek our assistance. Because we have 12 service locations that include Head Start preschool sites, we're really able to work in the community helping families. So we help families as far north as like Livonia and Northville, and then all the way down south to the Inkster area and west. Then you go over to like Redford. And so it's a very broad area that we're able to help families. So they see our name in a lot of places, and they come to us for help.
Wow, that's incredible. Now, you guys have about 13 different programs, right?
That's right, yes.
What are some of those programs?
Our two largest programs are actually going to be our early childhood programs and our children's mental health services. We actually have a variety of early childhood programs, which are anchored by Head Start and early Head Start programs. Together, those programs offer free preschool and support to 700 children under the age of 5 every day.
Wow.
And in different communities, too. We also have, part of our early childhood programs, a family resource center, which is a great hub of activities that help parents and children build that parent-child bond. And it's also sort of a referral nucleus. We help families make connections if they need resources to meet their basic needs, or any other type of help that we can give them kind of comes out of our Family Resource Center. We are also a part of the United Way for Southeastern Michigan's Early Learning Communities Initiative, which provides training and education for non-professional caregivers of young children.
Oh, excellent.
Throughout the county. So because there are so many families that are depending on neighbors and friends and grandparents and, you know, in-home caregivers like that who may not necessarily be professionals, where that program is helping train those caregivers in childhood development and activities and all the things that they need to help that child that they're looking after grow. And secondly, our Lifespan Clinical Services is our children's mental health component, and it specializes in infant, child, and family mental health. Really, that it helps those children who are living in poverty, who are generally at a higher risk for psychological problems, helps them thrive emotionally and behaviorally from the youngest age. Lifespan is a key partner within the Detroit Wayne County Community Mental Health System as well, so we serve families throughout the county. I actually have a really great story I'd love to share with you about the mental health services, if you would like to hear that.
Oh, please. Yes, absolutely.
One of our mental health therapists, her name is Liz. She shared a story with us the other day that was really powerful. She said that for the past 6 months, she has been working with one young client who has been in foster care for over a year due to neglect. And for a number of weeks, he was using blocks. They use like interactive play and things like that to kind of help the children express their feelings.
Mm-hmm.
So for several weeks, he was building trophies out of the blocks. And he often wouldn't let the therapist look at them while he was building. And the trophies would sometimes be for a stuffed animal or for himself. And one week the therapist said this, or one week the therapist asked him, "Who are you building your trophy for?" And he said, "Well, this one is for you." And she asked, "Well, what did I do to deserve that?" And he answered, he started counting on his fingers, "You came back. You came back, you came back, you came back." And he said that for every single finger as he counted up to 10. And she said that it just reminds her of how meaningful the consistency of early childhood therapy is to children with so much little consistency in their lives. And we just think that's a really powerful illustration of what, you know, children's mental health kind of does.
Well, you just about got me crying.
I know. I know. There were a lot of tears in the room when we first heard that story.
Oh, my gosh. I'm just hearing it over the phone, and I'm going, oh, my. Oh, that is powerful. And it does give a great testament as to your organization. Do you have a lot of foster kids in the program? Does that seem to be, like, a majority?
I honestly don't. I don't have that information, but I would say generally there are a lot of foster kids in the children's mental health component. At one point, Starfish actually did focus on helping children who were involved with the foster care system. That was actually what we were doing for a long time. But after a while, about 1999, when Starfish was actually formed, Dr. Weeda Cash founded Starfish, and that was based on the belief that the best place for a child to grow up is with his own family. And so that was how Starfish kind of came about. It was a merging between a youth services agency and a community mental health agency. And at that time, that was when we began our first Head Start program.
Ah.
So it's been a little bit of a, you know, an evolution there with that. I mean, certainly our focus has always been about children and families.
Do you guys, is it completely focus on the younger age groups, or do you go up to teens and, like, above and beyond?
We do. Our primary focus right now is on families with young children, so families with children ages roughly 5 and under who are living in poverty. And we help those families, like I said, through the Head Start program, through Children's Mental Health Services, and through all, you know, our other array of supports. We also do help teens and young adults who may be in crisis through a teen shelter that we have in Inkster.
Okay.
And we also have a after-school program in the Westwood Public School District. So that's where we kind of continue on helping those younger children who, you know, have made their way through life and gotten to a stage where they need a little extra help. But kind of to go back to the family piece of that, in keeping the family strong and helping them, the best way we found to do that is to really give them the tools that they need. And we're doing that through the Family Success Program, which is helping 90 families find a pathway out of poverty. It's a 3-year program that kind of helps them discover what the barriers are in their lives and then what they need to do to become stable, self-sufficient families. And we've been very, very lucky to have generous funding for that from the Max M. and Marjorie Fisher Foundation and also the McGregor Fund, among other supporters. And then the newest program that we have is the Parent Empowerment Program. And it's an innovative parent training program that helps parents develop strong, positive parenting skills and gives them tools and confidence to be their child's best teacher. Over half of parents say that the way they raise their children based on the way they were raised. And if the way they were raised was not healthy or encouraging, then unfortunately that's how their children are going to be raised.
Right.
And we have one mom who told us that, you know, I was raised in a military home where my dad was, the way he got things done was, you know, hitting and yelling. And so that's how I was raising my 4 daughters. But after coming to Parent Empowerment Program and learning some of the techniques and the importance of giving children choices and helping them make their own decisions and staying calm and all of those things, she's like, not only am I a more confident parent, but my children's behavior has improved. There's, you know, we're not perfect, but there's not as much fighting and yelling and that kind of destructive behavior going on. So it's been a very, very powerful program, and we've been very lucky to have support from the Art Van Furniture Million Dollar Charity Challenge and actually PNC Foundation's Grow Up Great program has helped support parent empowerment.
Well, it sounds like it's worth it and working.
It is. It's both, actually. I mean, it's certainly a wonderful chance for families to gain a lot of confidence. I think that one thing that we hear consistently that families tell us that that they're gaining is I'm more confident in myself. I'm more confident as a parent. And that kind of, you know, it trickles down to how they raise their children. So it's definitely having some significant impact for their lives.
Yeah, and they're our future, you know.
They are, exactly. And we want to help make sure that those children, because they are so vulnerable at that young age, we want to make sure that we're helping to mitigate as many factors as possible so they get to kindergarten, they're ready to go, they're ready to succeed. One of the things about early childhood is that in the first 5 years, stress from living in poverty or abuse or neglect, experiencing that, or having a mom with depression can basically be toxic to a child's development. And by the time a child in poverty reaches kindergarten, actually, on average, he has a language deficit of 10,000 words.
Wow.
Compared to his peers, and is as much as 18 months behind his peers in cognitive development. So you get to that point, and that gap gets really hard to close.
Well, yeah, because you start, the older you get, the more set in your ways you get, too.
Exactly.
Right.
And so we're trying to help provide a holistic method to preventing that and to intervening early enough that children, once they get to school, they're ready to go, and then to provide the support their families need.
Yeah. Now, are you finding in today's economy, have you guys just had, I mean, you can only allow so many people in. Are your applications just crazy?
We do receive quite a few more requests for assistance than we are able to provide for a lot of programs. Specifically, our federally funded Head Start and Early Head Start preschool programs. Unfortunately, there's just not enough slots available for all of the families in need. And our capacity is one thing that we're trying to build and work on as we are gaining some momentum, especially with early childhood. And one good thing that is happening is that we have received support from the Kresge Foundation for a planning study around early childhood, which will help us pursue a very focused strategy of investing in early childhood to move some of the indicators of childhood success, so making really a community-level impact. And with that, once that plan is kind of in place, we'll be able to hopefully serve more families as well.
Oh, that's excellent. Well, on that topic, how would people get a hold of you, whether they need services or whether they want to help out or volunteer? How would somebody get a hold of you guys?
Well, that's a really good question. I'd love to tell you that.
Please do.
We welcome anyone to call us for more information regarding our programs, the services that we offer, to volunteer, or if you just like more information on what we do at Starfish, you can call us at 734-728-3400, or you could also go online to www.starfishonline.org.
Okay, and that'll give them all the links, all the information they need to get a hold of you then.
Absolutely. We would love to hear from everyone, and of course we always are appreciative of any support, whether it's through volunteer or if you're able to make a donation. We really could use that to help more families and children every day.
Well, great. Thank you so much. I really appreciate you taking part in the show Impact here.
Well, thank you, Kristen. It was so lovely speaking with you, and I hope all of your listeners enjoy learning a little bit more about Starfish.
Great. Thank you so much. We've been talking with Avery Ennegunberg, who is the grant writer with the development team at Starfish Family Services, and I will be back with more Starfish news and what is going on into a couple of specific programs, so don't go away. We will be right back after this. You're listening to 89.3 WHFR.FM, the station making waves.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
I don't know how to talk like a parent. Don't make me come back there. You see what I mean? It's pretty awful. Try it again. Don't make me come back there. Now, that's pretty good. That one kind of sounded like my dad. Weird.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to put up with you. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
Okay, welcome back to Impact. My name is Kristen, and we have been featuring Starfish Family Services here in Wayne County, Michigan. And now I have with me on the phone Marcia Hurley, who is the Family Success Program Manager at Starfish Family Services. Welcome, Marcia. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you for having me.
If you could, what do you do? What does Avery gave us a little bit of a background about the Family Success Program, but I am really anxious here to find out more in depth what you guys do.
Well, the Family Success Program was set up about 3 years ago when they tried a family success model of it. And then we went into full program last spring in 2009. And we added about 35 families then, and then in October we added probably about another 37 families, and then we just a couple of weeks ago started our third group. So now we have 105 families in the program.
Wow.
With about 220 children. So it's a growing program. We say that the program goes anywhere from 2 to 3 years, but that's really our commitment to the families. The families sometimes achieve what they entered the program for ahead of that, and others take a little bit longer. And the families set their own goals. We don't tell them they're going to enter the program and in X amount of time they're going to achieve a certain goal. So the goals are individualized for the family. Some may be wanting to finish off a GED or return to college, get other training, could be to fix financial situations, maybe to buy a house.
What do they do? Do they fill out an application, I guess, is kind of what Avery and I were talking about. And then do they go through processing, interviews, all that?
Yes, they do. Actually, we've gotten families referred from Department of Human Services, Focus Hope, First Step. We've had them referred from several agencies, as well as within our own agency. We take a number of Head Start families in from our own agency. And part of that is because the requirements to enter the program are that you must be low income. You have to be receiving some type of assistance from the state. You have to have at least one child in the family who is 5 years old or younger, no current substance abuse or domestic violence, and most importantly, you have to have a desire that this is something you want to be in.
You want to make the changes. You want to do it.
Exactly. You've got something in mind, or I should say, you know something needs to change, because sometimes families come to us, they're not quite sure what it is they want to do. They just know that what they're doing is not working and they need to do something better for the future of their family. So we're really about helping families stabilize and strengthen so that the children, the parents can go forward with more opportunities for success. We work with single mothers. I have a few single fathers in the program. We work with married couples, couples who are cohabitating. We don't define family, the family that approaches us. We've even had two sisters who were helping raise one of the sisters' children come to us. So we don't have any of those limitations in. Basically, I would say most of our families, we've taken people as young as 18, but I would say the average is somewhere around 22, 23 years old to probably early 40s. And we have a mixture of race, religion. We have Hispanic, Arab American, African American, Caucasian families in the program. So it's been very diverse group to work with.
Now, what are they come in? They make a you help them make a plan, and do you find it to be successful? Is it working? You know what is some of the feedback?
Good question, because there are a lot of programs to be had, and I will tell you that the first 17 weeks of our program is really working with the families. They come in weekly for 2.5 hours. We run it at 4 different times during the day. We provide, if you're here in the morning, you get breakfast. If you're here in the evening, you get dinner. We provide child care because we know those are all stumbling blocks for our families in order to be here. So the first 17 weeks are really about learning that, yes, you know, the financial piece is important, but people need more than that to be a successful family. A lot of our families are really isolated, so they're building networks, not only with the other families in the program who they become very close to, but in the community and learning how to access resources. If you or I needed something and we didn't know where to get it, we'd probably call a friend. And
right.
Somebody would say, here, you know, this is a great, you know, resource. Our families don't have that. So we're helping build those networks. We're helping them learn parenting skills, what to exactly expect of a child, developmental stages. So we have a parenting program here called Parent Empowerment Program, and they go through that so that they can actually learn those skills and how to deal with it. They learn how to deal with the stress of the situation they're in. And with today's economy, we're finding a lot of families who have never experienced not being able to provide for their family entering the program.
That's hard.
It's very hard.
Wow.
Because those people really have no clue how to even access what is available to them through the Department of Human Services.
Right, because they've never had to even look into it before.
Exactly. So that's a challenge for our families, and really working to see what kind of assets you have, you know, both internally and, you know, hard assets, and just, you know, knowing that this is going to be a long journey. It's not going to be fixed overnight, and what do you need to do? We currently have 3 of our single mothers finished off their first year at U of M Dearborn. They're part of the SOAR program there. We're very proud that one of our teenagers, whose mom's in the program, has been accepted to Princeton University on a full paid scholarship. So she will be starting there in the fall. We have had 6 of our family adults finish their GED now, so they're preparing to make that next step. One of our moms finished her bachelor's degree in social work. We tend to have a lot of people who want to give back, so they go into things like nursing, social work. And people who really entered the program couldn't even make eye contact during their intake now actually have been in meetings where they're talking about the program, where they're recruiting other people. They've met in community groups, and they talk about what the program has meant to them. So it's very powerful in the way people have developed their own self-esteem and validation, because, you know, I'm sure everyone's well aware, you cannot go forward if you don't believe in yourself.
Exactly. So, I mean, to go from that situation to Princeton,
yes.
I mean, there's a testament right there.
Yeah, she was also accepted to Stanford and Cornell.
Wow.
But she decided Princeton was closer to home, so if she needed to get back for her family, she could get there. But, you know, it's incredible to see where people have started and where they are working their way to. And it's not a quick fix. And so it's very hard when people say, you know, about, well, what's your success rate? Well, even if you enter college, you know, you're not going to finish for 4 years.
Right.
So, you know, the success.
Well, and actually, if they're, it could take even longer than that.
Absolutely.
If they're single mothers and they're trying to work and support their family, and yeah.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, like one of our mothers went back, she was 39 with four children. So, you know, it's commendable to me to think of the courage that it takes and the change in your mindset that you can do something like that. And you do, you know, set out and say, I can accomplish it. I mean, it was hard enough when I was 18,
oh, yeah.
You know, on my own without that. So I'm very, very proud of the success that the families make.
Now, when these families enter the program, you said there's like about a 2 to 3 year commitment.
Yes.
Do you have any families that are just exhausted? Like they're just, I can't continue in this. I don't know. It just seems once you get going, because it's easier to quit than to keep going.
It often is. And, you know, yes, we have had probably about a dozen families out of the 100 or so that have started the program have left it. Some because they have moved for employment out of Michigan. And, you know, we consider that more success than dropping out of the program.
Right.
That they were able to, you know, find employment. But you do have some people who we have lost touch with that perhaps it was that it was just not the right timing for them to make that kind of commitment. But for the majority of people, what happens is they enter the program more in that phase of, you know, I just feel like giving up. But when they are working in their groups with the other families, that becomes a very big support group, and people really encourage each other to keep going and really are very much pat on the back for even the smallest accomplishments, because they all know that that small accomplishment took a great deal of effort to make. So you see a very, very much a support system going. And then as they move through the program, they get to a point where we are doing seminars. And those seminars go anywhere from financial literacy to reading for children, for education. We've had colleges in here. We've had PNC banks doing all kinds of financial literacy for us. You know, we do stress management. We do a lot of programs and job skill training to help them acquire those skills, both the soft skills and the hard skills.
Well, do you, I know it has its rewards. How does this just kill you emotionally, Marcia?
Yes, we get very emotional about our program because we
because you get so personally involved with these people, families, and these kids.
You very much do. I mean, you know, we see children start with us that, you know, the mothers are carrying in their infants, and then we see them start in Head Start program. You know, we see kids that can't walk, and then they're, you know, come toddling into the office or something. So we watch these children grow up. We've had 6 new babies enter the program.
Oh, wow.
So that's always very exciting for us. You do get very wrapped up in it, and I think the program is very much named appropriately because the people in our program refer to it as their second family.
Aww.
So, you know, we feel very lucky and very special that people would consider us part of their family and part of their support system. But that's sometimes what it takes because many, like I said, of our families don't have anyone else around. You know, they're, you know, don't have a lot of friends, may not have the best relationships with their extended families. And so that piece really is a huge support for them, you know, and I think that's what keeps people going and keeps them, you know, on track for their success. And then the last part of the program is when they form their own mentor groups. There's about six or seven in a mentor group. And they now are looking forward to the things that they need to do. They're now able to network. And, you know, we talk about in our program moving our families from dependence to independence to interdependence. And I think a lot of people think that that's only dependence on financial assistance. But for us, it's also the dependence on other people in general, that now they're growing that independence and that interdependence to rely on themselves and to make decisions and to know how to plan ahead and not have a constant crisis in their life and know how to network and get out in the community and make changes and having that confidence, you know, about themselves.
I would imagine the trust factor of these families coming into this program has just got to be huge. I mean, you're talking about families that are used to people leaving or not being around or no one's there for them. So to put their hand in yours and say, I trust you, okay, let's do this, that's just got to be hard and overwhelming.
I think it is in the beginning. I think like any of us, you know, before you're going to open up to someone, you have to build some kind of trust and relationship with them. And that comes with the nature of our program as well. People start, you know, opening up little by little. But once they're in sessions, and the sessions usually have only about 10 families in them, and they start hearing other people open up and talk about some of the things in their past or where they're at right now, I think there is a comfort level that I'm not the only one that's in this position. I've had my setbacks, but so have other people, and they're still willing to stand up and move forward, and I can do that too. But it does take a while, like with anything, to build that kind of trust and that bond. But we have a great staff of family advocates that the families are very close to and very trusting in.
We've been talking with Marcia Hurley here, who is the Family Success Program Manager at Starfish Family Services. Thank you so much, Marcia, for being part of the show. I really appreciate it. And is there any way for people to get a hold of you? Is this a separate phone line, or would they just go to the main website?
They can go right through the main website or call the main phone number here at Starfish Family Services. To inquire about the program or any maybe resource or something they may need. Maybe we can help them with that.
Okay, and what is that website again?
It's www.sfish.org.
Okay, and then they have another one too, Starfish Online,
yes.
Correct, .org? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right, great. Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Kristen.
You're listening to Impact here on 89.3 WHFR.FM, the station making waves, and we have been featuring Starfish Family Services, and there is still more to come, so don't go away. I will be right back after this.
Wow, I can't believe it. This is great news.
Aw, thanks. Oh, I'm so nervous, but I'm excited, too.
So are you going to start telling people? Is it too soon?
I think I'll wait a little bit, you know, just in case.
Yeah, that's smart.
Yeah. Well, people are going to notice soon anyway.
Have you told your mom yet?
Not yet.
Oh, she's going to be so happy.
Yeah. Oh, it's going to be so nice to finally be able to say, I am quitting smoking.
Mm. Congratulations.
Thank you.
If you're pregnant, there's one more exciting announcement you can make to your friends and family, that you've decided to quit smoking. A lot of women are able to quit successfully when they find out they're pregnant. They have the best motivation there is, a healthy baby. Deciding to quit is the first step you can take to reduce the risks of premature delivery, low birth weight, childhood asthma, and SIDS. We can help you learn to quit. Call Great Start at 1-866-66-START.
So do I have to buy you a gift for this too?
Of course.
Every baby deserves a great start. Brought to you by the American Legacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
And
You're listening to 89.3 WHFR.FM, the station making waves. This is Impact. I'm your host, Kristen, and we have been talking with a few people here from Starfish Family Services. I am now joined by Cynthia Bonk Foley, who is the Early Childhood Services Director of Starfish Family Services. Thank you so much, Cynthia, for joining us.
Oh, you're welcome.
If you could, we'd just start off here with a little bit of background and what you do with the Early Childhood Services, what your focus is.
We actually operate several early childhood programs, the largest being our Head Start program. Our Head Start program services over 600 children, actually 633. Children in the school districts of Crestwood, Inkster, Livonia, and Plymouth Canton. The Head Start services children in a variety of options, those being part day options as well as full day options. Children that are with us receive a lunch as well as a breakfast or snack depending on what session they're in. We have a full cadre of services. We have a nurse on staff. We have a social worker as well as family service workers who work with parents on the local sites. Parents develop goals for themselves as well as their children while they're with us in session. So those folks work with children and families. We have a wide array of other services that we offer within Head Start. We have a curriculum called the High Scope Curriculum that we provide services to our children. It is a comprehensive program, and as I said, that's our Head Start program. We also have Early Head Start. Early Head Start is for those children. The Head Start program is for our 3- and 4-year-olds. Our Early Head Start program is from prenatal, actually moms who are pregnant would be in this program, as well as up to age 3. And then after that, children could transition into our Head Start program. Our locations for this program, and we have a wide array of communities we service through this program, is Canton, Dearborn, Dearborn Heights, Garden City, Inkster, Livonia, Northville, which is the Wayne County portion, Plymouth, Redford, Taylor, Wayne, and Westland. It's a gigantic scope for a very small program of only 64 children. Unfortunately, it is a federally funded program, and we can only service the amount we're funded for. So only 64 prenatal moms or young children can get into this program. It does have a waiting list, but anyone who is in need of services, we do have toll-free numbers for both of those programs to apply. It's a great program for children that are extremely young or moms that are pregnant. Moms that are pregnant can receive doula services, which is prenatal services, and the doula instructor actually can be there during the birth of the newborn baby. Those children then get into the program here at Early Head Start, so we really cover a great span of development from prenatal all the way up to age 3, and then as I said, they can potentially get into our Head Start program at age 3 or 4.
Okay, and now in this Early Head Start program, because I've never heard of this. What do you do, like, with an infant? I mean, or is it more working with the parent in that?
We have two options. One is a home-based option, which is a fabulous option for parents that are at home. We work with the parent in their home, and we work on a wide array of developmental skills for that age appropriateness of that child. So perhaps the child is 1 year old, and it's a growth and development thing for the child to be doing some things in the home or fine motor. We would work with that parent on age-appropriate skills so that we would assist that parent in being able to recognize what's appropriate for that age, as well as some activities that the mom or dad could be doing in the home in order to stimulate that growth. So it allows us to assist the parent in actually looking for milestones in development and working one-on-one with the parents in order to provide an enriching experience for that child. So that's the home-based option. Our center-based option are for those parents that are working. Center-based option, we have an 8-hour-a-day program 5 days a week, And pretty much, other than the holidays itself, it's, we service pretty much calendar year-round. We work with the children in the Center for Working Parents. We provide that enriching environment where we would be working with children again on developmentally appropriate practices. We use the high scope curriculum with our infants, and we really do a wide array of activities depending on the age of the child.
Okay, now what is this curriculum?
The curriculum that we use is the high scope curriculum.
Okay, what does that involve?
It's an evidence-based practice, and really it's a curriculum that came out of Ypsilanti, believe it or not, in the local area. And it's a curriculum that's based on, you're really taking the child where the child's at, where the child is at developmentally, and enriching the environment with activities that are age-appropriate, going back to the fact that you're really looking at the individual child, not in some of the early childhood curriculums. You really look at a canned curriculum of activities that you do with children. It doesn't really look at the individual child, whereas High Scope really looks at the individual child. Example, it could be raining outside, and every child, you may be interested in the rain, but of course our age groups vary. So you would be doing different things depending on where the age level of that child is in order to make it a concrete experience for the child.
Basically, so this curriculum, you're setting them up for success for what they can already do.
and we start early. And I think that that's one thing that at Starfish, our mission statement is strengthening families to create brighter futures for children. That in itself sums it all up. We're really starting very early. We start prenatally, actually, an early head start. We focus in on moms that are pregnant. We're making sure that in the pregnant mom, we're enriching her health care. We're making sure she makes it to the prenatal visits. We're making sure that she has information in order to be able to prepare her for labor and delivery. We're also, you know, helping her learn what to expect as that baby is born. We're really laying the foundation really early in life. So we're going to be able to give, in a nutshell, a head start experience, a head start for that parent and that child in growth and development.
So they go through the early childhood development program and then move into Head Start.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't have to have been with that previous program to be involved in Head Start.
No. In fact, our Head Start program has 633, whereas our early Head Start program only allows for us to service 64 children. So many children haven't gone through our early Head Start program to get into our Head Start program, but we're still enriching that child's life by 2 years. If they come in at age 3 and then they have age 4 to be with us, they have 2 years prior to going into kindergarten. So we're really giving them the opportunity of 2 years to be in a program that really stimulates their curiosity, that, you know, focuses on appropriate developmental practices. We're really trying to not only wrap our arms around the children, but the family also. We provide families with a ton of experience while they're in both Head Start and early Head Start. We provide parenting workshops. We provide a wide array of other workshops to help the parents, not only with their children, but everyday life. We do financial planning with parents. We just provide them with a bunch of resources. We really want to make sure that it's not just the child we're focusing in on. We're focusing in on both the parent and the child to enrich their lives.
How do the kids react to the Head Start program when they come in? What are some of the emotions that you deal with?
I think that, you know, a story that I have that I tell everyone, you know, I'm able to follow some of these children for 5 years, some of these babies that come in, you know, at infancy, and then they go on to our Head Start program in the same building I'm in. So I've actually watched these children for almost 5 years. I went to a concert that they had this winter, and I actually could, you know, out of all of the children in this building, which is over 200, I could identify the children that were in early Head Start. And the reason why is they're so grounded. They're not fearful of crowds. They've been in this building for a long time, and there's, you know, 8 classrooms in the building that I'm in, of 2 of Early Head Start and the rest of Head Start. And so they're used to large crowds. They're used to being around adults. When they got up to sing their songs in front of a large group, you could see them moving their hips, and they were the hands of the groups. I mean, they had absolutely no fear. They carried on the songs. I mean, they were so used to being in a group that really told me that after as many years as they've been with us, they really, you know, are strong and are ready to go on to kindergarten. They have skills, you know, that have been, their skills have been enriched for almost 5 years. And what a great way of succeeding in kindergarten. They're going to be the leaders of the kindergarten group. And one of the children that went on this year to kindergarten, who had been with us since infancy, is the teacher's assistant in kindergarten. She's the one that tells all the other children what to do. That tells me that she's really gleaned a whole lot of skills while she's been with us. Those are just some of the, you know, the ways that I think that it impacts children. I think initially in Head Start, if they haven't been with us in early Head Start, you know, you always, whenever you leave a preschooler with strangers, there's always an anxiety. So initially coming in, you know, children are fearful. I mean, we teach them from early on to be fearful of strangers, but yet we leave in a new preschool, even though we do a home visit prior to the first day here, so that they can meet the teachers at home.
Oh, that's neat.
Which is a great opportunity for us to, you know, no longer be identified, we would hope, as a stranger. And we're in their home, so mom can introduce the teacher and the teacher's assistant. So that gives them a great first chance to meet in their homes. And then on the first day of class, you know, again, we invite parents to come in. We want that transition to be a smooth one for children. We want children not to be fearful on their first day of school. So, you know, of course, we continue to try to separate the child and transition the parent out so that the child can become independent in class. But once they identify and make new friends, and I think as soon as they see the classroom and all the toys, you know, definitely you see the smiles and they're happy to be there. It's just a moment of anxiety, and then children just really do, you know, fairly well. I'm absolutely shocked some years that sometimes we don't even have one crier in the bunch.
Wow.
Which is great.
Yeah, that is great. Now, do you ever have any problems with transitioning parents? You know, come on, get out.
You know what? That's the funny thing is, I have to say that I was actually the person that did parent orientations for years, and realized, you know, and I didn't have children of my own, and I would say that to parents, you really need to walk away. You need to be assured that everything will be fine with your child. You just need to walk away and don't press your face against the window because that only makes them more anxious, and please don't chase the bus down as it's pulling off. The first day that my oldest went to school, I think I had more anxiety than anyone else. I was that parent at the door, pressed up against the window saying, I'm not ready for this. And my daughter saying, Mom, you can go now.
Yeah, bye-bye, Mom.
You know, you say it, but then you turn around as a parent, and it's very difficult to let your children, you know, leave your sight. I mean, you know, virtually we're strangers. We would hope that we would transition children and parents into class smoothly, but I do think that parents, you know, and we at our Inkster site have one-way mirrors, so parents can look on the other side of the one-way mirror.
Oh, now that's neat.
Which is fabulous, because I think they're less anxious. I'm sure that the tapping on the window doesn't help things, but if they remain silent out in the hallway and they don't cry, I think it's okay for the parent. The child usually is in there already having a ball. I rarely see children who, once the door is closed and their parent is gone, doesn't find a new friend almost instantly, and if not a new friend, has found the sand table or the toys, things that they've never seen before. I mean, that's a great thing, and I think that children truly do love it. The reverse is true when it comes to the end of the day. We tend to see children not want to go home. They still want to play with the housekeeping area. Can I stay? And parents have to reassure them that they'll come back the next day. It's really wonderful to see children truly engaged as well as happy, laughing on the first day of school.
Oh, that sounds incredible. Now, do you have children that have been through the program that remember enough? Like maybe they're in elementary school now,
yeah.
And they come back and like, oh, hi, you know, or...
It's a wonderful thing to see those children grow up and actually remember who you are and come back. We've heard parents who really, you know, are just thrilled that their child had a Head Start experience and come back and share their success stories. We know that, you know, several have gone on and have done really well in elementary school. Starfish has actually operated the Head Start program as we know it for 10 years now. So we've had the opportunity for some of our children to actually, you know, get up in the school years, and as we hear some of the success stories, parents really do value the Head Start experience their child was given. I think it really does prepare children for school and the transition. I mean, when you get into kindergarten, there's really a lot of desktop work.
Mm-hmm.
You need to get down to business. And I think that that's something that you can tell, and as kindergarten teachers tell me and have shared, you can tell that they've been in, you know, a Head Start or in a preschool program, because when they come in, they're able to follow directions, which is fabulous to hear. So when we hear those stories of successes in school, you know, of course we, you know, really do feel that it's all because of us, but I'm sure it's because of parenting too. I mean, parents had an opportunity to learn really good parenting skills, and I think as a partner together, we laid a great foundation in those children so that they are prepared to go on to, you know, elementary school and hopefully on to success. We certainly want to see them in college. We certainly want them to be successful. One of the mission statements of Head Start was to break the cycle of poverty. We really hope that we're making an impact in that way.
Well, and it's one of those things that you don't see an immediate result as far as, you know, breaking poverty. It's one of those things that's just going to take time.
Right.
And so it's hard. It's got to be hard to not have that. We're such a have to have it now type of society that sometimes, you know, those good things, you just got to wait.
Right. I mean, you know, we certainly hope that somewhere along the line it will make a significant impact. Unfortunately, economy and everything else plays a big factor in that.
Oh, yeah.
But certainly we know we're making steps forward. We know that we're making, you know, things happen in children's growth and development. And really, you know, even if it's just the child who used to bite, you know, the parent and, you know, children that they played with and they're no longer biting, they're using their words rather than biting, that's a success because it's really laying a great foundation for that child.
Well, great. Thank you so much. We've been talking with Cynthia Bonk Foley, who is the Early Childhood Services Director of Starfish Family Services that we've been featuring here on Impact. Thank you so much, Cynthia, for being here today. I really appreciate your time.
Thank you.
You have been listening to Impact here on WHFR.FM 89.3, and we have been featuring Starfish Family Services. I would like to thank the organization very much for participating in this show, Impact. And if you have been listening and you at all need any of these types of programs or know somebody who does, please don't hesitate to give them a call for more information. They are there to help you. Their general phone line is 734-728-3400. That's 734-728-3400. You can also find a wide variety of information off of their website at sfish.org or starfishonline.org. They are there to help, and you don't need to be shy. Sometimes people just need help, and it's okay to admit that and go forth. Well, I hope you will join me next month, July 27th, for the next edition of Impact, and I will be featuring another nonprofit organization. So, and if you happen to be a nonprofit organization and you would like to be featured for a future edition of Impact, please do give me a call at 313-845-9676. You can leave a message
And also, you can contact us through the web at whfr.fm. And I would be more than happy to get in touch with you and possibly have you on a future show. So thank you so much for listening. I hope everyone has a great month and enjoys their summer days. You're listening to 89.3 WHFR.FM. We are the station making waves.
WHFR.FM, the station making waves. Welcome. You are listening to One Chord to Another, where every Tuesday from 2 to 4 p.m., I, your host Jeff, bring you new and slightly used indie rock and pop for your listening enjoyment. Lots of great stuff coming up on the show today. I've got music from The Morning Benders, new stuff from We Are Scientists, and brand new music from Amy Milan and Stars. So lots of great stuff to look forward to. But before I get to the music, let me give out the number here so you can call in and make some requests. The number here is 313-845-9676. That's option one for the studio. Again, the number to call in with your requests or comments is 313-845-9676. That's option one to get me right here in the studio. I love hearing from you, so please help me shape what the show is going to sound like today and call in and request a song. Starting things off on the show today is new music from We Are Scientists, who will be in town playing a show at the Blind Pig in Ann Arbor July 20th. Here they are with music off their new album, Barbara. This is You Should Learn on the station making waves, 89.3 WHFR.FM. Yourself are never gonna be paid. The promises you said, but can already tell that you were going to break. You get what you deserve, and I guess that's a problem. It's lessons you should learn.